Returning to the Psalm 5, and we'll read this psalm together. To the chief musician upon the Hilloth, a psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, and neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favour wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word this evening. As we have journeyed through the Psalms the last number of weeks, we have taken a theme, some thoughts from each psalm. We haven't looked in great detail at these psalms. There's much could be said, but we have took just a little thought, maybe a few thoughts from the psalms and considered them, moving through each psalm each evening. And we come to Psalm 5 tonight. And as we consider this psalm, and as I read this psalm certainly many years ago, and even in regard to this evening, the words of verse 3 stand out. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. The psalmist here he's praying unto the Lord, but he's praying to the Lord about praying unto the Lord. It was the Puritan William Gearing who said, it is best every day to begin with God. And when we consider what the psalmist is teaching us here, David is the one who is writing this psalm. It is believed he was in distress again because of his enemies. That's a common theme in the book of Psalms. David is in distress. His enemies are against him. And he sets his face to the Lord, and he looks to the Lord for help. And he emphasizes his own desire here in the midst of trouble and distress to seek the Lord, to pray to him, to lift his voice to him. And notice what he emphasizes. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. He seeks to begin the day with God. In the morning, God hears his voice. And so I want us in the will of God to consider this evening, just very simply, begin the day with God. Begin the day with God. And I want you to see, first of all, that we are to resolve to begin the day with God. We are to resolve to begin the day with God. Jonathan Edwards was a famous preacher in the 1700s in America. And throughout his life, even from his young years as a teenager into his older years, he wrote down resolutions, things he was resolved to do in his life. Now, we might think of it as a bucket list, what we want to do before we leave the scene of time. It wasn't quite a bucket list. It was more a list of how he wanted to behave, how he wanted to act toward God, making these resolutions that as he read them and meditated upon them and prayed upon them, that he would flee from sin and flee from cold religion and be close to God. And he resolved never to count that a prayer, nor to let that pass as a prayer, nor that as a petition of a prayer, which is so made that I cannot hope that God will answer it, nor that as a confession, which I cannot hope God will accept. I think that is written maybe a little complicated, but what he is saying is this, that he wants to come and pray, believing that God will answer that prayer, praying with hope that God will answer, praying with certainty God will answer. And when he confesses his sin and confesses the great needs that he has, he does not want to come with an attitude that, well, God will not accept this, or God may or may not accept this. He wants to come believing God will hear, God will answer, God will accept what he's saying. And so, quite simply, though he puts it, I think, quite complicated, quite simply, he was resolved to pray with a believing heart and a heart that accepts that God hears and answers his cry. And David here is coming, he's beginning the day with God, and he's believing the Lord will answer. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. And David is saying to the Lord, expect to hear me. In the morning, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be praying. I'm going to be seeking thy face. Expect to see me. And he has a resolution to pray here. There's a desire within the heart of the psalmist to pray. He must talk to the Lord. He will not be silent. There is that urge within his soul to seek the Lord. And dear believer, the Psalms, as we've considered throughout these number of weeks, the Psalms deal with the circumstances of life that we find ourselves in. The Psalms deal with the spiritual life of David and others. And we can learn from that, and we find lessons in that. And the lesson tonight here is that we are to be a people who pray, a people who seek the Lord. And David's resolution was to pray. He had that desire to meet with God, to speak to him, to have that interaction with his Lord and his God. Is that the desire of our hearts? Just very simply, to have that relationship with God, to pray to him, to bring our concerns and our distresses, to pray about the good times, to pray about the bad times. He prayed, but he prayed in the morning. Spurgeon said that this is the fittest time for meeting with God. An hour in the morning, he said, is worth two in the evening. While the dew is on the grass, let grace drop upon the soul. Let us give to God the mornings of our days and the morning of our lives. Prayer should be the key of the day and the lock of the night. Devotion should be both the morning star and the evening star. In other words, Spurgeon's saying, when we wake, when we go to bed, prayer should be that lock that we close, that lock that we open. Pray in the morning, he's saying. The psalmist emphasizes this here in our text. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning. In the morning. It is the first part of the day. Matthew Henry said, whatever you do, begin with God. The world had its beginning in him, we had ours, and therefore whatever we begin, it concerns us to take him along with us in it. And whether that is a new opportunity, a new job, a new endeavor in the life of the church, or a new day, let us begin with God. Let us put God first in these things. Whatever you do, begin with God. And why are we to begin with God? Well, in the morning we are fresh and lively, supposedly. Some of us might not be. Some of us may be wishing the night was a little bit longer. Some of us may be those who enjoy the night and stay up late, and in the morning we rest a little longer. And others perhaps go to bed early, they rise up early. But in the morning, I suppose, we are supposed to be fresh. We are supposed to be rested. We are supposed to be lively. We are free, often, from company and business. And the Proverbs says in Proverbs 6, verse 9, "How wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" And in the morning, we have reasons to come and seek the Lord. There are reasons to be thankful. The Lord has brought us through the night. We have laid our eyes down. We have slept. And the Lord has been with us. He has preserved us. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 4, verse 8? "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." The psalmist had a peace when he slept. When we wake, well, we can thank the Lord for that safety. And thank the Lord for that blessed rest. Certainly, we are not just to seek the Lord in the morning. There are many times in Scripture where we read about seven times a day, Psalm 119, "Do I praise thee?" Psalm 55 speaks about the evening and morning and at noon. Daniel prayed three times a day. Psalm 25 says, "On thee do I wait all the day." And so we're not saying just pray in the morning, but rather the morning is a good time to pray because we are alert, we are awake. And this is the time that the psalmist took to meet with God. No doubt there were other times, but this is the time that is emphasized here in our text. And we can think of Daniel. Daniel was one who prayed three times a day, but he was known for seeking his Lord. He did that which he was commanded not to do. He put God first. He put God first. Well, dear believer, when we start the new day, do we seek the Lord? Do we pray? Do we rejoice in him? When we wake up in the morning, are our thoughts on him? Lord, expect to hear me in the morning. If I'm brought safely through the night, I'll be there in the morning, praying, seeking thy face. I don't know what the day may hold. I don't know what will befall me. I will need grace. I will need help. And we seek the Lord in the morning. Oh, we're reminded of the events that we could meet day by day. Day by day. Sudden tragedies, sorrows and griefs that we thought when we opened our eyes in the morning, those things would never happen today. But yet, we know because we've experienced such things. Know to begin the day with God and to remind ourselves. I remember someone who sought the Lord in the morning. They went about their business. They were met with tragic circumstances later that day. What encouraged them? Remembering the time they spent with God in the morning, it gave them a peace. The Lord was in control. They'd read verses and prayed over those verses that encouraged their heart as they were met with those tragic circumstances. The psalmist had this great desire, we see in verse 7, to come into the house of the Lord, to meet with him, to worship the Lord, to serve his God. Oh, that we would resolve to come to God's house, to meet with him, to worship him in fear. John Bunyan said, "Pray often, for prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan." Secondly, here I want you to see that we are to resolve to direct our prayers to God. We are to resolve to direct our prayers to God. And you may say, well, who else would we pray to? But there's a reminder in this psalm that David is praying to God. That is who we pray to. And we mentioned the Pharisees on Sunday evening, and they loved to pray in the streets. They prayed for themselves. They prayed to lift themselves up. And they did not pray as the born-again believer ought to pray to God. They prayed to be seen of men. There are those who will pray for their own ends. and for their own gain. But we are to pray and direct our prayers to the Lord. Notice what the psalmist says. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer on to thee. It was Spurgeon who said that the words here are, as it were, the figure or the metaphor of an archer. The psalmist is directing his prayer to the Lord. He's taking his prayer. He's putting the prayer on the bow like the arrow, and he's aiming to the heavens, and he's letting go, and that prayer is being directed toward the Lord. And why do we direct our prayers unto the Lord? We direct our prayers unto the Lord, for he is our God. He is our creator. He is the one who helps us. If you notice verse number 3 again, it says, O Lord, we've mentioned this before. In the authorized version, there's capital letters for Lord. That signifies in the Hebrew, it's the word Jehovah. And the word Jehovah, the name of God, Jehovah, signifies the one who is eternal and self-existent and self-sufficient. Who out of us is self-existent? We relied on others for our existence. We relied on others to help us and to sustain us until we get to the point where we can sustain ourselves. And even then, we still need others to help us. But the Lord is self-existent. He is not relying upon us, upon others. He is self-sufficient. The psalmist's prayer is directed to the one who can answer prayer. Dear believer, let us remind ourselves we are praying to the God who answers the cries of his people. Let us not come praying for the sake of praying. Praying hoping that maybe, just maybe, God might hear. Just maybe God might answer. Let us direct that prayer to God with a believing heart. Lord, in the morning you're going to hear my cry. Lord, in the evening, on Sunday, on Wednesday, you're going to hear my cry to you. I'm going to direct that prayer to you, believing that it will reach you and you will hear it. And by thy grace, by thy power, and in thy will, Lord, thou wilt answer that prayer. Oh, let us pray. The Lord heard Hannah. She spake in her heart, only her lips moved. But the Lord heard that prayer. She directed it to the Lord. It was not a vocal prayer. It was a prayer of the heart. The Lord heard that prayer that was directed. Thomas Blake, the Puritan, said, what is prayer? We oft speak of going to prayer, but what is praying? Why prayer? It may be thus described, he said. It is the breathing of a gracious soul, and the help of the Spirit of grace, whereby it is enabled to go to God in a promise, in the name of Christ, to beg suitable mercy, as the case may be. Oh, our prayers, we come in the help of the Spirit of grace. We come to God, relying upon his promises. We come in the name of Christ, whoever lives to make intercession for us, the great mediator, to come and to ask the Lord for that mercy and that grace to help us. Oh, the Lord is the one who can answer. Martin Luther said, if I should neglect prayer but a single day, I should lose a great deal of the fire of faith. Oh, prayer is important. David, the psalmist, understood that. He's teaching us that. Prayer is important. Lord, you will hear me in the morning. Why? Because he's got nothing else to do? No. Because he needs the Lord. He needs his help. He needs his grace. And so do we. So do we. And then finally, I want you to see that we are to resolve to expect answers to our prayers. We are to resolve to expect answers to our prayers. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And will look up. The Hebrew might be translated, I will look out. I will look for the answer. I will look for the blessing. Lord, I'll direct my prayer. And then I'll look. If I had a bow and an arrow, and I remember when I was at college, we were asked by one of the lecturers to come and to give a children's story or an introduction to a children's story. And I had a great idea. I would give an introduction to the story of the young lad who shot the arrows in the field for David and Jonathan. And I didn't have to worry about the rest of the story. I just had to introduce it. And I had a bow and I had an arrow. I did a little bit of archery in those days. And I remember in the class of students telling the story and getting excited about it and taking the bow and putting the arrow in the bow and pulling it back. And everyone ducked. They thought I was going to release it. It was perfectly safe because the arrow wasn't on the string. They didn't know that. Everyone ducked. And for years, I heard about the time where I nearly shot the students with an arrow. But when we take a bow and arrow, I should have maybe got one to bring tonight. I could aim it at our brother Charlie here. And if I was to take the arrow and or a target on the back, that might be a bit safer. Aim at the target at the back and have the arrow and let go. What do? I look to see where it's going. I look to see if it's hit the target. I look for the result of that shot. When we pray, our prayer goes to the Lord. And what are we to do? We're to look up. We're to look up in expectation that he has heard that the shot, as it were, the arrow has been driven home. And we have no doubt when we look at the word of God, the Lord hears the cries of his people. And then we look for the result of that. And that might take a while in the Lord's timing. The Lord works not according to the timing of man. He works according to his timing, to his will. But we're to look up, and we're to look up in faith that in the Lord's time, he will answer. That time might be minutes, seconds. It might be months. It might be years. That time might be long after we've passed from this world. But the Lord has a time. But we as his people, we're to watch and wait. We're to expect that answer. And the psalmist here is expecting an answer. He's looking up, Lord, I'm praying. I'm waiting for the answer. I'm waiting for the answer. Let us be encouraged that the Lord will answer our cries. At the commencement of each day, we would not deprive our body of the sustenance that it needs. At some stage, if we don't eat breakfast, we're going to eat lunch. If we don't eat lunch, we're going to have to eat at some point in the day. Normally, we would eat breakfast. But yet, we can continually deprive our soul of the spiritual sustenance it needs every day. Let us pray in the morning. Let us seek the Lord in the morning. John Bunyan said, he who runs from God in the morning will scarcely find him the rest of the day. Let us make a point of following the psalmist, seeking the Lord in the morning, directing our prayers to him in faith, looking up, being expectant that in his time he will answer our cries. May the Lord bless his word tonight for his name's sake. Amen.